here talking about confidence in the economy is President Dwight D. Eisenhower back in 1955 when the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which opens today in the 6,000s somewhere, was at 400.
Now, I'm not saying that the stock market itself, its rises and falls, is necessarily an index of what we are going to happen in this country. But it does reflect that kind of confidence that we have tried in the past so hard to instill.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average, much reported, much followed, but is it a gauge of confidence in the U.S. economy? Technically, it's a list of 30 industrial so-called blue chip stocks, but is it a measure of broader confidence in the U.S. industrial economy and around the world? John Prestbo joins us. He's editor and executive director of the Dow Jones Indices and chairman of the Dow Jones Index Oversight Committee. John, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, John.
There are lots to talk about here, but first, Dwight D. Eisenhower said that the Dow Jones Industrial Average, or the stock market's rises and falls, are a measure, a sort of raw number measure of confidence in the economy. Do you buy that?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's a daily voting by investors on what they think is going to happen. And if they're buying, then they think that they're going to be able to sell later at a higher price. So that is a measure of confidence in profit growth, in economic growth. A vote of confidence.
Now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is an index of 30 industrial stocks, and many commentators, and someone who appears on this program a lot, David Leonard of the New York Times, says it's a very tiny snapshot of the broader stock market and maybe gets more emphasis than it deserves. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, from its very beginning, which is 113 years ago this year, it's been a shorthand indication of the stock market. That was its original purpose, and that continues to be its purpose, to take a small number of stocks, carefully selected, and use them as a proxy for what's going on in the market. This, of course, happened before there were computers. Now there are indexes with hundreds and thousands of components, so the 30, by comparison, looks very small. But the selection of those companies is very important, and the mix of those 30 really reflects what's going on in the economy. The statistical proof of that is that the Dow correlates very highly with the S&P 500. So they both tell the same story about the stock market. On any given day, one may be up and the other down, but over time, they correlate very, very highly.
John, I was just thinking about the literacy level that is required to look at these numbers. I remember when I was in high school, we had model stock market, and today Genentech was just bought by Roche, and that was actually one of the runaway stocks that someone in my high school class picked. But I, without digressing too much, I still feel like even though I have to try to understand the stock market for my job, I'm constantly scrambling to figure out what exactly it means. And I know a lot of people have no idea what these numbers mean. Is it sufficient to constantly have these running in tickers, you know, on television sets, have these numbers in the newspaper and here on our radio show? Do you think that it actually can make people panic, I guess is what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. I think that there is such a thing as mass hysteria. And while we haven't reached that level yet, there certainly is such a thing as contagious pessimism or irrational despondency, shall we say.
I like that, irrational despondency. Sometimes you see that on CNBC when the market is really tanking and the whole network, some of these financial networks look more like a telethon for turning the indices around. Well, let's talk about some news. There have been moments when the Dow Jones Industrial Average and that list of 30 industrials has really undergone some tension as the economy shifts. I remember when Microsoft was brought into the Dow Jones Industrials, and a whole number of tech stocks really came into the Dow, and other traditional manufacturing stocks went out of the Dow, and that was a real symbol of the transformation of the U.S. economy from traditional manufacturing to tech. Now we have a different problem. or a different issue. A lot of traditional industrial stocks are way down. General Motors might even be pulled out of the 30 industrials, along with Citigroup. How is that decision being sort of evaluated there at Dow Jones?
Well, what we do, because we're running an index, not a portfolio, so it's not like we're making investment decisions. We're making representation decisions, if you will. So we took at a company like Citigroup or like General Motors and ask ourselves, do we think these companies are still representing the industries that they come from? And our judgment up until now, and maybe for the whole rest of the day, who knows, is that they do represent their industries. And they are indicative of what's happening in those industries. So that's what we look at. And yes, we have been watching it closely. And yes, we are watching each other's reaction to things. And when the time comes that we lose that confidence that these companies are indicative, out they go.
Well, you know, we just heard a little bit of President Eisenhower. President Kennedy also had his thoughts on the market.
For the first time in history, we have 70 million men and women at work. For the first time in history, factory earnings have exceeded $100 a week. And even the stock market has broken all records, though we only get credit when it goes down.
You know, one thing that strikes me about that statement was that you have two different indicators, or really three, the numbers of people employed, what they make, and then the stock market. You just argued that the stock market indices are representative of what's going on in the economy, but explain more about that, because employment numbers and what people make, are they really linked that closely to the market? I'm curious.
Well, they're linked, but they're not. It's not a finely calibrated connection. There was a statement by Paul Samuelson, the economist, a number of decades ago, he's actually now, when he said that the stock market has predicted 9 of the last 5 recessions.
And 9? So, that's great. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
So the market is a much more volatile moving indicator than the economy itself.
And it's also a leading indicator, whereas employment is a lagging indicator. It sort of lags behind. So, and that's traditionally how that works statistically. Let me play 20 questions with you for a second, John. Any idea what the Dow was at when John Kennedy made that statement that the Farage just played?
Let's see, in the 60s, oh gosh, it had to be like 700 maybe.
He's good, man. 740, mm-hmm. 740.26 on 1-12-63, January 12, 1963. So finally, I just want to nail you down here a little bit. Are you denying that Citigroup and GM are being considered to be removed from the 30 industrials, or is that a no comment?
Well, it's basically a no comment, but I can even shorten that to no, in the sense that they're not being considered for removal until and when they cease being representative.
Right. Okay.
And I know that's a subjective judgment, but there it is.
There it is. All right. Finally, if you're a company that gets onto the Dow Jones Industrial Average, do you get advantages because with all the exchange-traded funds, suddenly you get picked up in portfolios? Just a few seconds. I want to remind people of that.
Well, to some extent, yes, although because we have 30 stocks, all of which are in the S&P 500, for example, and larger indexes, they're already in a lot of funds. So there's some pickup, but not a lot. The benefit of being in the Dow is primarily prestige.
All right. Well, zippity-doo-dow. It's not very zippity today. John Prespo, editor and executive director of the Dow Jones Indices and chairman of the Dow Jones Index Oversight Committee. Thanks so much for joining us, John.
My pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.